Chapter 2. That night, Ed dreams. He's under the water. There's no light, but it's not pitch dark. It's bright aqua, like the color of a cartoon ocean. He drifts for a bit until he bumps into the seabed. There are sea urchins keeping him company here. Hundreds of them. Thousands, maybe. They're all wearing hats made of smaller fish who are wearing hats made of plankton. It's a party. Ed understands. He's crashing a sea urchin party. Sea lords know Ed can't dismiss this as just a dream. His husband is a mythical sea creature with psychic magical powers, for fuck's sake. But he's pretty sure this one is based on something he saw on TikTok. Or will, when he wakes up. For now, he's just dancing with the sea urchin friends to what his dream brain knows is called bubble music. The dream changes. He's deeper under the ocean now. The water is navy blue. A tentacle sprouts from his hip, and then another. And then a Scylla's worth explodes out of his body. It's weird because he's in a Scylla body, but he still has his legs and penis. And then all around him he hears pop, pop, pop in quick succession. And his legs are tentacles, and his tentacles are legs. And his penis is a Scylla hole, but he still has his balls somehow. Which is really the weirdest thing. This one isn't as fun as the sea urchin party, but he has had it a fair amount of time since the shift, so at least he's just disgruntled and not scared. The dream changes again. Now everything is pitch black. He waves a hand in front of his face. Nothing. He shouts. Even the bubbles are silent. He's treading water, and he knows that it's water because it's a dream. But it also doesn't feel like anything at all. He thinks he's back in his human body, but he can't even be sure of that. The back of his neck prickles. He spins around, but he can't see anything. His body is getting tired. He casts out a mental net, looking for Steed, but instead he feels something... something... He doesn't even know what. Enormous? Earth-shaking? Eldritch? It's not human, and it's not Scylla, and it doesn't feel like any sea creature Ed has ever encountered. He feels the thing coming closer. The water gets hotter. The darkness gets darker. Something glitters. It's the size of a dinner plate, a lustrous black. It flashes past Ed on one side, and a current follows behind it. Spinning it around, making him dizzy. And then, finally, something he can really see. A huge, jagged circle, 15 feet in diameter, pale and ghostly gray under the water. It's getting closer and closer, and too late Ed realizes it's teeth, and the glittering black circle was an eye, and he is fully about to get swallowed. He blubbers. And now he can hear it. He can hear his limbs thrashing in the water and against the sand rubbing together on the seabed, and some long, low squalling that's muffled and sounds like it's coming from hundreds of miles away. And he can hear the heartbeat of the thing that's about to swallow him. Ba-bum, ba-bum, ba-bum. Or is it his own pulse, slowed almost to nothing? Is it both? He squeezes his eyes shut, but he can still see the mouth, and then he's inside it, and everything goes black again. Ed! Ed, wake up! Steed yanks Ed awake through their bond. He thrashes on the mattress with panic because he didn't want to wake up. He wanted to be swallowed. Or maybe not wanted to. He just felt like it was right somehow. Like it's exactly what should happen, and what has always happened, and what will happen again in his next life. He's kind of a little horny about it, too, but he's going to ignore that for now. I'm all right, Steed. I'm okay. Steed tugs Ed off of the mattress and into the water. He wraps Ed around in his tentacles, and jets through the cat flap out into the open ocean. He sinks them below the waves and presses his face into Ed's neck. Ed can feel Steed's fear, and something that feels like anticipation, and also maybe a trace of horniness. I can't believe it, Steed says. I can't believe it. I never thought...
Never thought what?
Steed grabs for his thoughts before they can transfer to Ed, and Ed claps back with an emphatic chastisement. Steed grumbles in his mindscape, but lets Ed in.
It's a sign? Ed asks. The dream is a sign?
I don't know about sea urchins wearing hats or your weird lug tentacles.
Hey.
But yes, the last part.
A sign for what? A sign for what, Steed?
Steed huffs and dribbles out a piece of information that slithers around Ed's brain before it fully takes root. Ceremony. Community. Culture. The cycle of life. The stewardship of the Scylla.
The Cascade, Ed says.
Yes.
What does it mean?
Nothing, Steed says petulantly. Even as his thoughts communicate to Ed, it means he's been called.
That doesn't seem like nothing.
It's nothing because we're not going to do anything about it.
Why?
Because I have to keep you safe. And that's not a lie. Steed is frantic with fear at the thought of Ed being exposed to other Scylla, to their secrets and rituals. He'd proven it with Jeffrey yesterday, and he's frothing with it now. It's why he rushed Ed out of the house and into the open water. He feels safer here, like he can protect Ed better. But there's something else beneath Steed's anxiety. Something that feels like jealousy.
Talk to me, love.
Why you? Why a human? Steed's voice in Ed's mind gets very small.
Why not me?
Ed frowns. He doesn't know how to comfort Steed through this one. He wraps his body and his mind around Steed and gives him a squeeze through both. He peels off a small part of his attention from soothing his mate and reaches back to yesterday, playing through everything Jeffrey had said. Steed catches on and overlays his own memories. It's funny where they diverge. Jeffrey looks a lot bigger and more menacing in Steed's mind, for example. But finally Ed finds something he can work with. He highlights the memory snippet for Steed. Steed says.
Think about it. You've been bitchy for weeks, so have I. Something's up. And if it's always made it pairs who are called, then that means...
The call is for me, too.
Yep.
Something soothes in Steed. Something that had been held tense and tangled, close to his center. He propels them upward with the lazy push of his tentacles. He holds it as they float parallel to the surface of the water. Faces just peeking out above the waterline. The stars are out, and the moon is bright, and even though the night air is cool, Ed feels at peace. In a way that feels a little supernatural, honestly. Like something's finally clicked, and his brain isn't fighting it anymore. He's been called. They've both been called. Steed doesn't feel the same way, although he's trying to. He's not convinced he's actually supposed to be involved with any of this.
Tell me more about the Cascade,
Ed says. Steed hesitates for a moment, and then tugs Ed into a memory. He's younger, much younger, an adolescent at most, but Scylla don't age like humans do, so Ed gets the vibe but can't translate it. Other Scylla of Steed's age are floating together in what feels like school, camping, church, field trip. Watching a much older Cribd speak about the Cascade. Only, it's not speech. It's pure psychic projection. A net of energy bundled around the young Scylla, pulsing with the story. Steed can feel and see his actual form in the water, but another setting is overlaid semi-opaquely around him. It's dark. Although Steed can still see marine snow drifting softly downward. It's like a 3D movie. If a 3D movie included a full sensory experience, complete with emotions. The Cribdies is nudging the students with a feeling of anticipation, reverence, dread. Steed is utterly entranced, ignoring some of the disrespectful snickering that twitters through some of his classmates' various bonds. The story is this. Deep. Deep below the surface, deeper than the reefs, deeper than sunlight, there's death. The marine snow shifts its slow drift downward and begins to move at an angle. The focus of the story follows, revealing a large glowing gray mass of something, but the story won't let the young Scylla know exactly what it is. Scylla materialize in the water around the mass, but only as flat outlines of dark blue, like shadow puppets. They sway in the water in a weird little cartoony puppet dance. They link hands and form one long chain that circles around the mass, and moves first one way, then the other, getting a little faster each time they switch direction. The Charybdis pushes the feeling of inviolable sanctity through the projection to the Scylla youth, and Steed believes it with every single one of his hearts. Where there is death, there is life. The blurry gray mass sharpens as the story pushes in. Its bones, thousands of bones, human and Scylla and fish and whale and other creatures that has no name for. And Steed can't stop to explain right now. They're stacked on top of each other in a humongous pile along the seabed. A sound rings out in the water through the story. It's a whine, and then a wail, and then it cuts off and is gone, although Steed can still hear a phantom ringing in his ears. Through the layers of the story and Steed's memory and Steed's mind, back in his own body, Ed's nose begins to bleed. The puppet Scylla are spinning around the bones like a zoetrope, their limbs blurring into different positions and not moving individually. As raw metaphysical energy builds inside the circle, the pressure on Steed's senses is almost overwhelming. It rushes away and towards the bones which scatter in the water in all directions, before they're sucked back together and zipped into a humongous oblong shape. Something that, once again, the story won't let Steed fully understand. That something turns towards Steed. The circle of puppet Scylla breaks, allowing it through. It opens its jaws wide and swallows him whole. Steed gasps as the story fades.
"That's how you know," the Charybdis says. "If you're swallowed, you've been called." "What was that?"
Ed says as the memory fades.
"I don't know, but it's old and important."
"Ed, you're bleeding."
"Fine, I'm fine."
And Ed is fine. He is more than fine. He's shaking a little from the come down of the story, from the intensity of Steed's awe and veneration, but he feels invigorated. And fucking horny, fuck. Shit.
"So, when are we leaving?" Ed says.
"We are not leaving. This isn't a research opportunity. It's dangerous." He reaches out and runs his finger gently, so gently, over Ed's top lip, wiping away the drop of blood that's trickled over his philtrum. His touch is soft, just like how he's cradling Ed in his limbs, as though he's something precious that needs protecting. But Ed doesn't want to be protected. Not from this. He leans into the touch, but he presses on their bond, demanding Steed continue. Steed heaves a mental sigh and drags Ed back into the memory.
"The Scylla have very few natural predators,"
the Charybdis is saying.
"We are powerful, not just in our bodies, but our minds. A long, long time ago, when we still ate other travelers."
Ed's mind translates travelers to fish and crustaceans, etc. Things with nervous systems, basically.
"Scylla fought each other for control over hunting grounds. We warred with each other almost to extinction."
Flashes of horrible conflict. Scylla fighting Scylla, tearing each other apart. The waters running blue with their blood.
"Do you see?" Steed says.
"I know I'm weak and pathetic. I can't protect you." Ed seethes with anger at whoever made Steed feel that way. He shoves his memories of Steed's grace and strength along their bond, which does make Steed feel better.
"But my people are enormously powerful," Steed continues. "Who knows what they'd do to a human, let alone a human who's made it to a Scylla and broken all the rules."
"What would happen next?"
"What?" "Scylla went to war, you Steed fish, etc. What next?"
"The Sea Lords told us we couldn't eat travelers anymore, restored our population, and gave us stewardship over the seas."
And the cascade is what?
A ceremony to restore. The concept seeps through Ed's perception and translates to something like balance, hierarchy, rhythm.
That seems pretty fucking important. We should probably go.
No! Steed's response is instant and forceful. But Ed's still worked up from the dream, still buzzing. The itchy, restless feeling from earlier has transmuted into lust, into a burning need under his skin for Steed, for closeness, for the building heat between them. He'll convince Steed. Steed knows they have to go. Ed knows he knows. He's just being stubborn. And for now, he sets that aside. Ed flips himself around and grips Steed's shoulders and dunks him under the water. Steed is too stunned to resist, and he scrunches his face at Ed as he dips beneath the surface and grins.
"Steed, sweetheart," Ed says. "You're going to break eventually, so..."
He grinds himself against the sensitive space where Steed's skin turns into tentacles.
"Let's find a better way to occupy our time than arguing, okay?"
Steed gives a mental "humph," but is already winding himself around Ed and sinking into their amative bond. In the next few days, they do argue about it. Ed doesn't want to pick fights, but the call is becoming more obvious every day. He can't stop thinking about it. The dream, the memories, the omnipresent buzz that's fizzling under his skin. It's getting worse for Steed, too. But he's still being stubborn. Ed has never been good at remembering to eat. After a few more days pass, he frowns.
"When's the last time I ate?"
he asks Steed.
"Beats me. I think it was like 2 days ago."
Steed's mind wrinkles with confusion. "I don't think I've eaten since then either." Ed forces himself to eat, but it's unappetizing. He's also sleeping less. Until finally he can't sleep or eat at all. He doesn't feel sickly or weak. If anything, he feels energized, his every molecule vibrating to leave, to seek, to join. Steed is right there with him, and he keeps fucking it to distract him away from the very fucking obvious conclusion that they have to go. And the thing is, Steed wants this, more than Ed. He yearns to be chosen, to be a part of something bigger than himself. Steed's dreamed of being called since he was a young Scylla, and his fears about some big bad sea guy tearing Ed apart are nothing compared to giving Steed this. Steed has confirmed, after some grumping, that yes, Scylla always come back from the Cascade, and no, a Scylla hasn't attacked a human in living memory.
"I'm not even fully human anymore."
Steed eats his ass to keep from arguing again. 5 days after Jeffrey's visit, Steed sleeps, and dreams of being swallowed.
"Fine," Steed says. "Fine, we can go."
Ed tries not to be too smug about it. End of chapter 2.